Yeah, the mic's on. We're good? Yes, Cindy, you had a question? They're not. Dan got an email from them this morning. They'll be back in 2 more weeks.
Oh, wow.
2 more weeks?
Yeah, yeah. What's that?
I'm looking forward to staying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, almost, it'll be almost 3 months by the time they're back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and if you could take your seats, we'd like to go ahead and get started. Open your Bibles to Romans 1:16 again. Romans 1:16. And let's all, this is our first memory verse, so we're going to say it again together out loud. Ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Okay, if the person next to you said it right, go ahead and give him a pat on the back there. There we go. Excellent. Good, good. So you don't get candy. You got to go to the kids' class to get candy. Here you just get a little pat on the back and everything. So, all right. Yeah, they have cookies in the back. That's right. Okay, excellent. All right. What was the next verse that we said we're going to memorize?
1 Corinthians 15.
Okay, ready? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Let's go there. There. Look at that one. Now we're going to say this out loud again. We'll read it out loud together. Say it out loud together. The song version is a little shortened. It kind of shortened it up a little bit. It says this. Let's read this together. Ready? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. See that? So those are two verses so far that you already have memorized. You're well on your way on this evangelism class, okay? All right, now, there were a couple of questions that came up during the break, and I want to just briefly answer something here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14. I want to briefly answer a couple of these things, and then we're going to move on to our next session. Fundamentally, the question is this, and there are several forms that this question came up during the break, and that is, well, what if someone just continues to object, gives you objection after objection after objection? Does that ever happen, by the way?
Yeah.
What if they just tell you, I don't believe in that, I'm not interested in that, don't talk to me about that, you guys are nuts, things like that. What do you do? Yeah, what do you do, Jamie?
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Walk away.
Listen, you got to walk by faith in this verse. Look at this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 14. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Watch this. Look at verse 38. 1 Corinthians 14, 38 says this. It says, but if any man be ignorant, what? Yeah. Now, I understand that there's a context around this. The context, Paul is talking about believers at Corinth who are professing to be someone. If you look at the previous verse, 37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. Well, that guy that continues to object to what you're saying, that guy thinks he knows everything.
No.
Right? He may not be professing to be a prophet or spiritual, but he evidently thinks he knows everything. He thinks he's been all over the universe and has everything figured out. He says that where there is no God. You could ask, oh, so you've been all over the universe, right? Well, there's no God. Oh, so you've been there to the whole entire universe and you found that there was no God, right? So you've been everywhere, right? You know, if the guy's going to be smart aleck to you, you can be right back in his face. But the bottom line is, God's Word says, God the Holy Spirit says, you give someone information, if that verse says, but if any man be ignorant, then it's time to say goodbye. Who is it that is at loss?
They are.
We already talked about that God wants people to be saved. How do you know? Because He gave Christ to die for your sins. God has done everything on His part to save you, but He will not violate your free will. Isn't that amazing? God has gone as far as his justice allows him to go, to reach his hand out to you. Just keep hitting my hand. Just keep smiting my hand. I mean, come on, heart. Come on, smite it like a man, like a woman. So here's God. You know, come on, smite that thing. See that? So you keep hitting God's hand all day long. God keeps stretching his hand out to you until the day of your death.
That's right.
God says, I want to save you. I want to save you. You slap him. You smack him. You reject him. He still holds it out there. But God will not violate your... He will never violate the free will of a person. He lets you believe. Okay? I shouldn't... Some women are going to come up to me and say, now let me smite your hand. You know? Let's see how we can do it, you know? So... No, I'll say, no, you go who do it. Joe's, right? Because he's the one... Yeah. So, at any rate... So just keep in mind that verse, that illustration like we used earlier in sales. They teach you that, you know... Everybody is a potential customer, but not everybody is an actual customer. Everybody is a prospect for your product. But you don't know who's going to buy until you come across that person that is at a place in their life when they know they need what you have. How many of you need a dishwasher right now? How many of y'all need a washing machine right now? What determines whether you need a washing machine?
Broken.
Whether one you got broken. So right now... Sears is having sales, Walmart's having sales, JCPenney, they're probably all having sales on. But you don't look in the newspaper for those things. How come? Because you don't have the need right now. Well, understand, spiritually, it's that same principle with people. They all have the need, they just are not aware that they have the need. They're not at a place in their life where they're either thinking about those things, they just don't care, they don't think it's real, whatever. But how did we all get saved? Well, because by grace, because we were at a point in our life where we were willing to hear it. See that? So we have to just have to realize that truly, in talking to people, be okay with them conveying back to you that, you know what, I just am not interested and don't care, don't talk to me. See that? Because they don't know they need it yet. That's right. That's exactly what you did do. You planted is what you did do. You planted. Okay? So let me ask it this way. How many of us here today got saved, actually trusted the blood of Christ for our salvation the very first time we ever heard the gospel? Okay. So in the room, we have two hands out of however many we have here this morning. So percentage-wise, by the way, I'm not against you at all. I'm just saying that... It's normally it's much more the other way. You can see right here in the room that the reports say it this way. Let me just see if I can find this. The typical believer believes the gospel after an average of 7 hearings and 3 touches. I'm trying to figure out what the touches mean. Okay, you know, you better believe this or else, kind of thing. You know, but the average person doesn't believe the gospel the very first time that they hear it. So does that mean you should be discouraged if they don't trust it right then and there? Not at all, because you planted and then someone else can come along and just kind of water. Not everybody sees the need that they have right then and right there. My own situation was this, real briefly. I know I had heard the gospel back when I was in high school, probably once or twice. We went to some evangelistic thing. Somebody from school invited us to go. I don't know what it was about. It was a Billy Graham type of a concept. Okay. And then when I was at Texas A&M University, I was a freshman. And I was out doing, I was in a Corps of Cadets there at the Texas A&M, and I was out doing some stuff in preparation for trying to qualify for something I wanted to qualify for as a sophomore, okay, in the Corps. And so this guy comes up to me and says, hey, can I share the gospel with you? Okay, he didn't say it that way. He said something like, hey, you're out here working, can I talk to you about God? And I said, well, sure, whatever, you know. I was a good Catholic. I'm not going to not talk about God. But he says, well, can I talk to you about the Lord, talk about God? And I said, well, sure. So he had this little booklet called, I think it was the 4 Spiritual Laws. You can get those. They're still available and everything. So he went through that thing and talked to me about it, and I didn't understand it all at the time. But at the end of it, I remember he asked me something to the effect of, well, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior right now? You know what I said to him? I said, well, no, I'm a Catholic. I'm serious. I said, well, no, I'm a Catholic.
Would you like to trust Christ?
Yeah, he said, would you like to trust Christ right now? And I said, well, no, I'm a Catholic. He didn't go away fussing and screaming and crying, oh, I failed and everything. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember what I said. No, I'm a Catholic. Now, why would I have said something like that? Number one, because I was, but why? Because I thought I'm already in. I'm in the system. I've got this thing. Yeah, I'm Catholic. I'm in. Somebody asked about how to deal with Catholics. You deal with any lost person fundamentally the same way. You find out where they are You got to take them to where they need to be. They need to be at the cross, because the cross is a solution for everything. Okay? So all I'm saying is that there was that guy planted. And then you know that sometime later, Lori was very instrumental in leading me to the Lord Jesus Christ for my personal Savior. I thank God for that. Okay? And talking about sales jobs, I was the best salesman I ever lived, because she said yes when I asked her, would you marry me? You know? So at any rate, but just keep that in mind. So ask yourself that same question that, well, how many times did you hear the gospel before you actually trusted Christ? Okay, once? One time? No, how many times?
One thing. I was taught from the time I was a child. I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, but you know what? I was 12 years old. I went under Keith and Lily.
Yes.
My whole family was saved.
Yes.
I could have given anybody a clear salvation gospel message,
yes,
with verses to back them up, and I was lost.
Yes, I understand that.
So for that's you huge. Young people, that your mom and dad are saved and you come to camp, listen, it wasn't until I was 12 years old and I couldn't give you verses and set since I was 2 years old in Bible studies under Baker.
Yeah.
And you know what? I could give you the verses. I could quote verses. I could give you the gospel in words, but you know what? I wasn't trusting in it. I was trusting the fact that my whole family saved. Sure, I'm saved. And it wasn't until I went to camp and you were singing that song, if you're saved, then you know it's amen. I was lost.
Yeah.
And I knew it. And I sat at night until about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, saying, Lord, just whatever I want to do, I'm lost. I know I'm saved, or I'm lost.
Yes.
I know I'm lost. Lord, whatever I can do, Lord, I swear I'll do this. I'll do. Until 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, I was so exhausted. And you know what I came up with? There's absolutely nothing
that I can do. Yes.
And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to trust in what your word says, because I can give everybody the verse.
I hope everybody's hearing this.
I slept that night. And since then, I know you said a lot of times, have you ever wondered if you're saved? You know, for you people that are saved, ever questioned?
Yeah.
From that day on, I swear.
Never.
Never questioned, because it was settled.
Yeah. I hope everybody heard that, because again, you can be raised in the Christian home just because mom and dad are saved. That doesn't make you automatically saved.
That's right.
You can go to church all your life
and you can
be around a lot of saved people, and that doesn't make you saved. It's until he was 12 years old.
Until
he was 12
years old.
Scott, had your hand up.
Yes, sir. Those who are preaching the gospel of the kingdom, a lot of times they trust in, they don't get specific with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm kind of wondering if there might be a false hope there.
Absolutely. One of the reasons that we went this morning over the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, was to make sure that at least we understand that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. So if we want to be laborers together with God in what He's doing, we've got to do what He's doing. And the basis upon which He saves someone today is the gospel of Christ, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and resurrection of Christ, that alone. So you're exactly right. If someone's out there preaching the gospel of the kingdom and telling someone that they have to repent and be baptized, that isn't how God saved them someone today. We will deal with that in a separate issue, by the way, tomorrow, okay, on the clarity of the gospel. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay. All right, so let's move on quickly here. And we're going to do a role play again here just momentarily. So hang on. Everybody get nervous, right, because I'm going to call someone up here in a moment. Okay, so let's ask this. Who is supposed to give the gospel?
Believers.
Right? So how come believers are supposed to give the gospel? Is it because they're under the law to do so? No. It's because why?
They have the information.
We have the information.
God's workers together with
us. Yes. And who are the... There it is right there. We are the ambassadors. Remember Brother Jordan said last night that we're the ones that are not exactly at home right here on planet Earth. We are the ambassadors. If you look with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 now. Look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What's that? You have to wait. You have to wait. Okay, because let me try to get through this information, okay? We will have time for Q&A, all right? Look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice verse 4. Who is it that is privileged to give the gospel? Watch this. It says, but as we were, notice, allowed of God, 2:4, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, it says this, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. That's our third verse we're going to memorize. That is such a powerful verse. That verse is a passage that really speaks to our heart. Not under the law. You're not under the law. So don't read that verse as though, oh, God's trying my heart and He's going to beat me up if I don't share the gospel with somebody. That's not the point of the verse. Alright? But look at that verse. It says, for as we are allowed of God, people talk about the allowable will of God. So they say God allowed a plane crash, or God allowed a bank robbery, or God allowed the guy to go and... Well, that verse tells you what the allowable will of God is. What's the allowable will of God in that verse? He put us in trust with something He says is invaluable. Imagine that. Let's say you were going to Bible camp and you had all your gold and silver physically, your physical gold and silver in your house. And you called just anybody up. In fact, the guy on the street that says, held in the sign, we'll work for food, right? So you go to that guy and say, you know what? I'm going to actually go away to Bible camp for a couple of days. I want you to come and guard and protect that which is valuable to me. I have all this gold and all this silver and all these rubies and diamonds in my home and so forth. I want you to come to my house and I want you to protect this for me. It's real valuable to me. I'm going to put you in trust with this. What did you just do? Yeah. Yeah, you were like none too smart here. So, listen, the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to anyone that believes. Because the gospel exalts the person that God is exalting, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is valuable to God. It means something to God. It's something that God is impressed with. It's got the power to absolutely change the eternal destiny of anyone who will believe it. And not just change the destiny, but put you into a program by which you're going to be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. The very thing God wants to do. This creation, think about it this way, this entire creation. By the way, if there's a creation, there's got to be a creator. This, how did this building get here, the building we're in right now? How did this thing get here? Well, somebody built it. Isn't it utter nonsense to say, well, there's no such thing as a creator if there's a creation? If this building didn't build itself over billions of years as a result of a Big Bang, and by the way, did it? Did this building build itself over billions of years as a result of the Big Bang? No. You see how utterly ridiculous it is to believe that that's the whole concept of evolution, that that's where everything came from. All right? That you had order from an explosion. See, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Okay? But God has, He's deposited something with us that is so valuable to Him. This creation is a theater. Do you know what a theater is? You go to the theater, you watch a play, you watch a production, bless you, okay? I think Brother Jordan said he's going to help you really, really fine-tune those, right? So, all right. Anyway, think about it this way. This creation is a theater. Heaven and earth. This is a theater in which it is God's desire and will and intention to put on a play called glory. A real life situation, a play called glory, in which He's going to glorify His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout the ages to come, ages upon ages, in which you are a participant. Isn't this amazing? God says, watch my show. It hasn't even begun yet, by the way. This is all just preliminary stuff. New heavens and new earth aren't here yet. Okay? And so you and I, when we go out and share the gospel with people, really what you're doing, you're not only giving them the opportunity to escape the hell they deserve because of their sin, but to become a part of this great, grand glory plan that God has, that He wants people to be a part of, to participate in the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing about that? So, that verse right here, let's all read it together out loud. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. There's something else in that verse that's real helpful. The part that says, not as pleasing men. Why is that part helpful? Yeah, we don't have to please them. Therefore, we don't have to worry about their response.
We're not concerned with them.
Yeah, it's not that we don't care. I'm not saying that. But if they reject, it's their choice. I mean, they're lost already anyway. They don't become lost as a result of you sharing the gospel with them. They're lost already. See that? Hold that verse there. I'm coming right back to it. But go with me over to John chapter number 3. Lost people don't become lost as a result of hearing the gospel and rejecting it. Right? They're already in Adam. They're already dead in trespasses and sins. They don't become lost as a result of you giving them the gospel and then they rejecting it. That's not what happens. Look at the principle here in John chapter number 3, verse 18. Look at the principle. It says this, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Watch this. "But he that believeth not is what?" See, lost people are condemned already. Not because they've rejected the gospel. It's verse 18 there. John 3:18. See, John 3:18. The principle is a lost person is lost not because they have heard and rejected. They're already lost. They're already drowning. They're already in the house that's burning. You're coming to them with an inner tube. You're coming to them with the rescue. You're coming to them with a way to get out of the burning house. It's their choice. So when that verse over in 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But as we," let's say it together, ready? "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we believe, we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." We have to remember that. Now, listen, I don't need to let that person's rejection of me or the gospel, because they're not really rejecting me, I don't need to let that be my motivation. See that? See how important that is? Okay, so let me ask you a couple of quick questions here. If you were to do a survey among Christian people and ask them, "Do you witness?" For the most part, what do you think people would say, Christian people would say? Yeah, most of them actually don't. And if you were to say, well, okay, is there any particular reason why? What are some of the reasons why Christian people don't witness? And by the way, let's make this personal. So we say Christian people, it can be non-personal. So let's make this us, because we're here today, right? What are some reasons why we tend to maybe not talk to more people about salvation? Okay, fear. Fear of what? Okay, so fear of rejection is huge. Okay, why else? Okay, so say lack of knowledge. Specifically verses, okay? Very good. What are some other reasons why maybe we don't share the gospel with people? Okay, exactly. Leave it to someone else.
Lack of confidence.
Oh, E-L-S-E. Okay, so lack of confidence. And that connected to that. Good. So lack of confidence. What else? Somebody said shame. That would go with fear, right? What else? What would be some other reasons?
Identity. If you got a bunch of people that are lost to hang out with,
that's an interesting point. Yeah, if you're a saved person, you're hanging out with a bunch of lost people. What are you, again, fear? What are you afraid of? Yeah, you're gonna be on the outside all of a sudden. So when you look at, it's interesting how these really are the issues. Some form of fear, lack of, well, I don't know what to say. Under this category here, it's not only I don't know what verses to use, but there's another I don't know
where they are, or quite well enough.
I don't know how to answer the objections. I don't know what do I say next.
They ask me something I don't know.
So, they ask me this. I'm gonna know. Or under lack of knowledge, I don't know how to open the conversation. See that? So that's a big category there. Okay, and then someone else. It's someone else's job. Let the preacher do it. Okay, or let Joe do it. You know, let the Sunday school teacher do it. If they won't believe the gospel by Joe, then Joe will stick John on them, and John will tell them, "You're going to hell, man." And it's pretty intimidating. But I believe. You know?
Kind of. Putting on the waterboard.
Yeah. You know? So that's a big one there. It's interesting that when you talk to different people about believers, I'm saying. Those are the issues right there. Okay, so what we want to do, all three of these are real. Fear is real. lack of knowledge in some form, either what to say, what verse to use, afraid of answering objections, what if they ask me a question I don't know. All three of these are very real, the tendency to let someone else do it. All right. Now, we've already eliminated, so this one, lack of confidence, that really kind of comes up under here. Question. Let's do this one at a time. Let someone else do it. Okay, what do we already know?
Who are we?
Saints of the Most High God, and say it loud too. We are. So we are believers. We're all ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're labors together. So when we say, can we by faith say, let someone else do it? No. Can't do that by faith. You can say that, but not by faith. So what would be a different way to say, let someone else do it? What's a different way to say that?
You're lazy.
No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. I mean,
you don't want to?
Well, nurse, I'm saying the positive. Instead of saying, Lord, I know that I have thought just let the preacher do it, but I'm an ambassador. So, yeah. So instead of saying, let's let someone else do it, what if we said it this way? We say, Lord, you are my life. Let me depend on you to be my strength to do this. So in other words, Lord, I am an ambassador. See that? See? Lord, I by faith choose to labor together and so forth. See that? So instead of saying, let someone else do it, we can make a conscious choice to say, you know, Lord, I would like this to be a part of my life. Lord, maybe I'm not going to talk to 500 people a day. I heard a guy on the radio just recently, and he actually has an evangelistic ministry. He's located in Las Vegas, of all places. Man, ripe fruit, man, right? The guy says that he passes out 300 tracts a day. And he's done that for over 20 years. Real interesting guy and so forth. And he just uses a basic gospel track. And again, he's not, that doesn't mean he's talking actually in the sense of taking, you know, 5 or 10 minutes with 300 people. But he passes out 300 tracts a day. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Because if you pass out 300 tracts a day, you're probably going to talk to at least one, you know. So what you can do, instead of saying, let someone else do it, what we can do is we can say, you know, Lord, you invite me to be a laborer together with you. After all, I already am an ambassador for Christ. So, Father, you tell me right there in that verse that you've entrusted me with this message. So, Lord, I'd like to participate at least to some degree with what you're doing. So, Lord, in the confidence of your word, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make it a goal. And then you set the goal. Lord, I want to talk with one lost person ever how so often, or five lost individuals ever how so often, or I'm going to give out 5 tracts a day, or 5 tracts, whatever. Point is, you're not under the law, but we are under what?
Grace.
See that? So God says, I'd like you to be labored there with me. Would you like to do that? Yeah? Well, good. What do you want to do? See that? It's under grace. You don't put yourself under the law at all, because this is not, it's a labor of love. If you look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 here. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Whoa. What in the world is that? Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 says this. For the love of Christ constraineth us. See, what are we to be constrained by?
The love of Christ.
His love for us. Okay, now let me make a public, honest confession here. How's that? All right? Sometimes you will hear preachers say, you need to get out and share the gospel because you need to love that lost person like God loves that lost person. And I think, no sir. I don't love that lost person like God loves them. It'd be an utter lie if I said to God, God, I love that lost person so much. Who am I joking?
You didn't die for him.
I didn't die for him, and I wouldn't die for him. Who would you die for?
God.
You would die for your family. That's who you'd die for. But you wouldn't die for everyone in the world. You wouldn't die for just anyone in the world. Romans 5 makes it very, very clear. You'd die for your family, your children, your wife, your husband, mom, dad, right? So it's very limited who you talk to. So you don't share the gospel. We don't share the gospel in a sense of, oh God, please make me love that person like you love that person. No, no. We want to be constrained by the love of Christ for us and His love for that person. Christ, you love that person. Therefore, let me share the gospel with that person because you love that person. What are they doing out there? Is that right here on the... Okay, anyway. So once again, this one here. I'm an ambassador. By faith, I want to be a laborer together with God. See that issue there? It's a choice that we make. How do we deal with this issue of fear in the sense of lack of confidence? God has not given us a spirit of fear. How do we deal with it specifically in the sense of lack of confidence? Where does confidence come from? It's got to be the Word. It's got to be the book. It's got to be the book. It's got to be the book. So let's go back with me over to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Yeah, 5:14 there, yeah. Okay, look over to Romans 1:16. Remember, your confidence is not in yourself. How come? Listen, because you're not the Savior. You didn't die for anybody. You can't get someone to heaven. So, that's why you want to completely... When we say lack of confidence, well, what am I having confidence in? If it's self-confidence, let it go. But then, if you let self-confidence go, is there a basis to have confidence when sharing the gospel? And if so, in what and in whom? There you go. God's Word will do God's work to anyone that believes it. That's what our confidence has to be in. Our confidence has to be that, you know what? I'll give that verse to that lost person. If that lost person believes that verse, God will save them. He really will. God is sitting there, oh, John, I didn't want to save, not that guy, I didn't want to save that guy. What did you give him the opportunity to save for? It doesn't do it that way, you know? You give that verse, and when that person believes that gospel, God actually saves them. He really does. Watch this. He says at verse 16, He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it maybe is the it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So where is our confidence in? That's right. It's in the Word of God and its ability to do the work of God. How come God's Word, when believed, will do God's work? How come? Because He cannot lie. It's His part of the deal. It's His integrity on the line. See that? He says, I will save anyone that believes the blood of Christ. That's what He says. So our confidence is not in self. If it is, let it go. Just make the conscious choice. You know, my confidence is not in myself. Rather, my confidence is in the verses. Now, this is important for a number of reasons. If our confidence is in ourself, then after a certain number of times of rejection, what do? You give up. You lose confidence, yeah. If our confidence is in ourself, how are we going to be trying to convince that person? Like John's going to go convince whoever's doing what's now. If our confidence is in ourself, when trying to witness to that guy, what are we going to be doing?
We're
going to be given our feelings, our intellect, our logic, our reasoning. Now, does the Bible say that our feelings, our intellect, our logic, our reason, that God uses any of that to save someone? No. The verses do the work. Look again at Romans 1:16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See that? The tendency is, if we have confidence in self, the tendency is we're going to be trying to come up with tactics, strategies to persuade that person or convince that person. If that person believes what we say and it was just our words, did that person get saved? See that? That's as deceptive as trying to give them the gospel of the kingdom. You want them to believe the verses, the words. So let's have confidence in God's words, in what He says. That's just huge. That's so important. I can't tell you how many times over the years as I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, I'm trying every different avenue to use illustrations or whatever, and I'm thinking, wait, get back to the verses. I'm telling myself, and you know, I'm talking to the guy, and I'm saying, get back to the verses, you know? But you have to go back to the verses, back to the scripture, the word of God's the power, okay? So we know, therefore, lack of confidence can be converted to what? Instead of lack of confidence, confidence in what? Yeah, confidence in the Word. Let's go. The Word of God, so therefore in God. See that? So we can change that. And you change it by focusing on what the real issue is. Okay? What about this issue of fear? What about this issue of fear? Fear of what? The biggest one is fear of embarrassment, which is under the category of rejection. Okay? Now, nobody likes to be rejected. All right?
Challenge
would be a good way to put it, right?
You know you're going to get challenged.
Yeah, you know you're going to get challenged. Okay? No one likes to be rejected. No one likes to be on the outside. No one likes to be ridiculed and so forth. So how do you deal with that one? Fear of rejection. How do you do
with
that?
I dealt with those kids. I told them, hey, God loves you, but I don't.
Yeah. Okay. And they probably will, right? So at any rate, are there any other different tactics maybe to use with that one? No, really and truly, how do you deal with fear?
He's got a slug in the face. You turn around and run.
Not I, but Christ.
Yeah. You know what you do? It's interesting what John said here. The only way to deal with fear, you do have to stare it in the face and say, you're not my boss. Get out of here. I mean, you have to be direct with fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when that fear comes in and seeks to terrify you or petrify you or that type of thing, you can't talk. What you have to do, in your inner man, right then there, you got to say, wait a minute, God, this fear isn't from you. It's real. You're not saying fear is not real. Fear is very real. But what you have to say is this, Lord, that's a lost person there. You died to save that lost person. You love that person. I could care less about that lost person, God, but you love that lost person. So let me just figure out a way to maybe give them the gospel. See that? Don't say things that are not true. Oh, God, make me love that person like you do. No, that's not going to happen.
See that?
What's that? Yeah, but what does that mean to rely on the Holy Spirit? Everybody says that. What does that mean? Listen, you got to get back to the Word of God. To rely on the Holy Spirit, and you do rely on the Holy Spirit, but not a metaphysical kind of superstitious type thing. The way you rely upon the Spirit is what the verses say, trusting the verses. Okay? That's what you got to do. So when it comes to this issue of fear of rejection, you have to understand you're going to be rejected. But so, life isn't going to end because someone rejected you. The world's still going to come out tomorrow. So you just have to consciously say, listen, I'm going to be rejected. It's going to happen. Not everybody is banging down, knocking on your door saying, please, you know, John, please tell me how to get to heaven. Yeah, I mean, Jamie, somebody come to your door and say, Jamie, you and Tom, please, I've been waiting for you to come to me. I'm your neighbor. Come and tell me the gospel. Please. It doesn't happen that way. You know? So we have to realize that rejection is real. It's going to happen. You know what the definition of courage is?
Under pressure or something.
Okay.
Patience under pressure.
Okay. Courage is not the absence of fear. You talk to people that are in the military who are in combat. They're terrified. I'm telling you. The bullets are flying. And these guys were scared. And what it is courage is not the absence of fear. It's the realization that there's something more important than fear. There's a goal. There's something that's got to be accomplished more important than fear. And so they act. And the action overpowers the fear. You take that guy in a military situation when the bullets are flying and he sees one of his buddies and his buddy's down right over there and he's got to get, I got to get up out of this foxhole. I got to go and get my buddy and drag him back in. You know that guy's terrified. But there's something more important. And so he tells the fear, shut up, I got to go get my buddy. And he does it. And the emotion takes over and he drags him back. You see that?
Because your buddy would do it for you.
See that? So the thing about fear is you can acknowledge it. Yeah, it's there. It's real. But there's something more important than that. Okay? So the way you deal with fear of any kind, fear of rejection, fear of your buddies are going to Listen, let's say you're a saved person, you're hanging out with a bunch of lost people and so forth. The realization that you've got the answer that will change their eternal destiny, well, if I tell them that answer, they might kick me out, but at least I demonstrated that I cared enough about them, that that was more important. See that? So you deal with fear by doing what? How do you eliminate fear? You don't, you actually don't eliminate it, but how do you overpower it? How do you overcome it? Replacing is exactly right. Replace it with something more important is what you do. And what's more important? The gospel. See that? That person needs to come to understand something that you know. So you replace it. It never goes away. It's always going to be there and so forth. I shouldn't say always, because when you get a new glorified body, it ain't going to be there anymore. But you're in that situation. You're a little nervous and so forth. You want to tell that person how to be saved. You have to, in your mind, in your inner man, you just got to say, wait a minute, this is more important. There's a purpose. I got to replace that. So they might reject me. That's okay. So let's do this. Let me get some volunteers. John and Berta, come on up. Yeah, both of y'all. Here, give me a hand. Here we go. Okay. All right.
John, okay. Remember they can shoot you, but they can't eat you.
Yeah.
No, he would taste really bad.
Okay. All right. So let's pretend they don't know each other. Do y'all know each other? Okay. Let's pretend they don't know each other. All right. And let's pretend that John is a believer and that Bert is not a believer. Okay. All right. And so what we want to do here is John, he knows he's an ambassador for Christ. And he let's say they're school buddies, whatever. They know each other from school, whatever. And he's interested in Berta, not in the sense of boyfriend, girlfriend. She's a nice person. And he's thinking, man, this person really needs to know the Lord. So he knows he's an ambassador. His confidence is in the Word of God. He is kind of afraid she's going to reject him. Not because boyfriend, girlfriend type thing, but you know what? It's just not fun to be rejected. All right? So he stops and thinks, what? So just kind of talk out loud. What's your thinking, John? Help us through this.
Was fear? I'd be fear that she'd put me down. She'd put me.
Okay. So how are you going to go through that? So tell us out loud what you're thinking is. So just kind of in your mind, just talk out loud. Tell us how you're replacing it.
Well, I'd be afraid that she would belittle me and put me and reject me as what I am saying. And I would try to combat that fear with that I would say what the Bible would be saying to me and say what the Bible said and let's stand on that, not what I'm
See
saying.
What you do? Just in the inner man, you just tell yourself, wait a minute, I'm a little concerned about this, but the Bible's the issue and I really have a genuine concern for this person. Okay, so now you've made that decision. You already know a couple of verses you'd like to talk with her about. All right, and let's say that you're already friends, you are fairly comfortable talking to each other about quote-unquote religious things, so now start the conversation.
Well,
and keep it brief, by the way. 2 minutes, here we go.
Hey, little girl, you want a cookie?
All right, let's start the clock over. Okay, 2 minutes starts now, come on.
1 minute starting.
Yeah.
The verse I like to go to Ephesians 2:8-9, where it tells you that you were saved through grace and faith, and that we don't have to count on ourselves. We don't do ourselves. We got to trust completely in Jesus Christ.
Okay, any reply? Go ahead. Just kind of, you know.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
No. And that's by the way, that's a normal reply. It's, well, but John, you know, you got to do something. Okay, so keep going. So what would you say if she said, well, you got to do something?
Well, the Bible tells us that we're not in ourselves. When we try to do ourselves, we can't. There's nothing we do except what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Well, what about I heard what says there's a verse someplace in the Bible that says you have to do works.
There is lots of works in the Bible, but it's not for us in this dispensation. It's for another time of age of the Bible. We're not in that.
How do you know that?
The Bible says it so. And here I'm blanking because I have no verse.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. So give him a hand. That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so she brought up an objection, and we'll talk more about how to deal with objections tomorrow, but she brought up an objection. And not so much an objection, but she's conveying her understanding. Is it, well, wait, don't you have to work? But doesn't it say somewhere? So that last verse is conveying where they're at to you. You know, they got to get into the cross. So she said, but wait a minute, aren't there verses in the Bible about works? And your answer really was quite good. You said, yeah, there are lots of verses in the Bible about works, but not for your salvation. That's an excellent answer. And then she said, well, I was pretty sure that I saw one about salvation, about works for salvation. And he brought the issue up, well, it's for a different dispensation. At that point, something possibly to do is, well, you know what? Let's do this. Time right now, maybe we don't have but a few minutes right now. Could we sit down and actually look at a couple of verses? That's always a great thing to follow up. Ask permission, hey, can we sit down and look at some verses there? So thanks very much for that. So you see how you kind of do this. I am an ambassador for Christ. His Word is able to work in me to do the work. So it's not self-confidence. I know I'm afraid. I know there's fear. Because none of us like to be rejected. But there's something more important than my fear of rejection. And that is that person. I just need to... And since it's not up to me to save them, I'm just the messenger, then therefore I can just kind of say, hey, can I talk to you about a couple of verses I read in the Bible that really have been interesting to me? You know, that's an interesting opening, you know. So you're replacing it, and then you already have knowledge. Now let's move on quickly to this. How are we doing time here? Okay, a few more minutes, and then we're going to go to Q&A. What about this issue of lack of knowledge? Lack of knowledge. How do we deal with that? And that's going to be, let me erase these two, because lack of knowledge is going to come under several categories. Lack of knowledge is going to come under several categories. What would be some of the categories, lack of knowledge? Specifically,
for a person that says they're under the word, lack of knowledge of Israel's program.
Okay, so one would be a lack of specific verses. Lack of what else?
Joe and I role play this because we got a mutual friend that falls right into this.
Okay, we'll do it in a moment, okay? Lack of verses would be one. Lack of knowledge, whatever kind of knowledge?
Godly knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Their religion.
Okay, lack of their religion. Yeah. Lack of where they're at.
Yeah.
So that would be under the idea of I have a lack of knowledge in the sense of I don't know how to answer where they're at. I don't know their objections. I don't know how to answer that kind of thing. So that's a lack of knowledge in the sense of how to deal with, and then fill in the blank, with their objections. So most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, objections are simply people telling you what's in their heart about the issue. They're actually telling you something. They're giving you the open door how to sell them, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? So when we say how to deal with their religion, how to deal with their objection, how to deal with they don't believe in God. So I have a lack of knowledge on these things. What's the solution for that?
The Word of God.
Okay. Number one,
get the knowledge.
But there's something else, especially with the issue of how to handle their objections. Yeah. Okay. But there's a three word statement that is huge under this one. How to deal with their objection? It's huge.
Three words.
You know what? I don't know. I'm serious. Someone asks you a question and makes an objection that you don't know the answer to. You. What should you say? You say, you know, I don't know, but I'll find out. You understand the pressure that just was released when you said that? Because when that person gives you an objection about something, they're also under pressure. They're a little nervous, just like you are. So when you say, wow, you know, I got to tell you, that's a good question. I don't know, but I'll find out. Can I call you back? So you did. You're asking for permission once again. So, you're going to hear all kinds of different objections. They're all, by the way, they're all fairly standard. But you will run across something sometime that you say, man, in your own mind you say, well, I don't know the answer to that question. Tell them so! I don't know the answer to that question. But the bottom line is, when it comes to lack of knowledge, lack of verses to use, that's why you want to memorize verses. All right? And we're going to look specifically tomorrow at some key verses when it comes to presenting the gospel, exactly what to use. Now, there are a whole lot you can use, but there's going to be some key verses that I shouldn't say you must use, but you really, really should use some of these key verses. Okay? All right, look with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14, and it says this. He says, "We, having the same spirit of faith," and he's going to use an Old Testament illustration here out of Psalms 116 about resurrection and believing God. He says, "We, having the same spirit of faith," just like the psalmist had, "We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written," and so now he's going to go and refer to Psalm 116. He says, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." See why we speak? Why do we speak? Because we believe the truth. See that? He says, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." Well, then Paul comments and says, "We also believe, and therefore speak." See, why is it that we do speak the gospel to that lost person? Why? Because it's the truth. You have confidence in what it's saying. Who said that? You have confidence. Yeah, that's perfect. You have confidence in what it says. Your confidence is not in self, but in what it says. Now watch what he goes on to say. "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall do what? Raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." What event is verse 14 you're talking about? See where your confidence is? So our confidence is not in, "I speak because nobody will reject me." No. Our confidence is, "I speak because..." Let's put it this way. What's the worst that could happen? The absolute worst that could happen if you go out and show the gospel to somebody and they get really mad.
They don't believe it. They walk away.
They punch you in the nose.
Worse than that.
Shoot you.
Kill you.
But they can't eat you.
That's the point. So if the worst that can happen is big time rejection, they kill you, which that doesn't generally happen.
To die is gain.
To depart and be with Christ is far better. You're in glory and so forth. See that? So what you do is you realize that, wait a minute, my confidence is, I know that God who raised Christ from the dead, and did he?
Yes, he did.
Because if he didn't, what are we doing here? We're wasting our time this morning. By the way, if you're not sure whether Christianity is true, that's the issue you've got to deal with, the resurrection. If God did not raise Jesus Christ from the dead, then don't believe any of this. But if he did raise Christ from the dead, now you got a whole other story to deal with. The absolute issue to deal with when it comes to whether or not Christianity is the truth as compared to every other thinking system out there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did it happen or not? So there's a study for you. But the fact is, if God raised Christ from the dead, then who else is he going to raise from the dead? That's right. See that? So that's our confidence there. Now, if you'll go with me also to Romans chapter 1. Look over to Romans chapter number 1. Okay, Romans chapter number 1, watch this. Verse 15 this time. Paul says this, "So as much as in me is, I am ready." Readiness is based upon what in that verse? As much as in me is. Well, so who or what is in you? See that? The Lord Jesus Christ by means of His Holy Spirit and His Word. So readiness, there's no lack of equipment. The moment you got saved, you knew more than that lost person. So even if you may haven't studied for 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you still know how to tell that person that you got saved. Alright? So, let me have a volunteer. Tom, come on up. Woo! Lift up a hand here.
I don't know.
All right. Tom is a believer. I'm a lost guy. No. Okay, let's get someone else. Let's see. David, come on up. David, you're going to be the lost guy, please. Okay. Give David a hand here. Okay. Now, here's the scenario. Tom is the believer. He hasn't been a believer for a long time, maybe just a couple of years. He does go to church on a pretty regular basis, but takes his family, and his neighbors know it. Okay? Somebody's saying, uh-oh. That's always dangerous. We're going somewhere on Sunday, yeah. And they come back all smiles and everything, you know? So David is one of his neighbors and casual friends. They talk every once in a while and so forth. They borrow each other's lawnmower and that kind of thing. But David is not a believer, but he's going through some real tough times right now. Family difficulties, financial difficulties, and there have been some recent health issues. So David's kind of wondering about some, you know what? I wonder if there's much to this religious stuff. I know Tom down the street. I know they go to church. I wonder what he knows. So that's the scenario, right? So you happen to be out doing some yard work. You're doing some yard work. You guys start talking.
I'm limping.
And he's limping, okay? Got run over with the lawnmower, yeah. Okay? So start the conversation. Yep. And again, it's going to be short, four minute, whatever. Just kind of brief.
How you doing,
Dad? Good. Well, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, hanging in there.
Yeah.
Everything going all right?
Well, you know, I don't know if you noticed the lint, but I'm an alien.
It's tough getting old, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. But, you know, little knee trouble, you know.
My knee's working fine, though.
I noticed you were limping earlier. You got some secret? You can help me out here. I noticed you good. You're usually not around, and I can borrow your mower on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is that like a God thing? Take care of your knee there?
No, God won't take care of my knee. My outer man perishes day by day. The outer man. Do you go to church, or do you have any kind of religion or any kind of?
No, I grew up in
spiritual base. Anything?
Went to church when I was a kid. You know, these days I usually just take Sunday morning and sleep in a little later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, been a long time.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
Yeah. I was raised a Catholic as a kid, and then I quit going to church as soon as I didn't have to. My dad said I didn't have to. I wasn't going, so I was, you know, in that same boat. But I found out along the way from somebody that that I was a sinner and I had to answer to God one day. And I know I realize the importance of it now. You know, and I know you guys are going through some problems and such, and.
Yeah.
That God who I'm going to answer to can help you through a lot of these problems. He can help you to get through them through faith in Him. And I was just wondering, what do you trust? Do you believe in God?
Yeah, you know, I believe. You know, if you're a good person, you go to heaven when you die, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But, are you a good person?
Well, I like to think I am, but. I would say that there's some people in my family who don't agree with that right now.
I got those same people in my family. No. I don't answer to them. Have you ever told a lie?
Oh, well, I have to say yes, or I'm just going to tell you another one.
Well, you don't even go back this far. Are you believe in the creation of God?
I believe the world was created. Yeah.
Do you believe He created man?
Yeah.
Believe in Adam and Eve? Have you ever heard about the story of Adam and Eve? Of course, yeah.
Yeah, heard about that when I was a kid.
And you know that, sure. How they sinned in the garden against God?
Yeah. It's all ringing the bell.
Yeah. Well, just that alone makes you guilty before God. Just right there on the spot. without even that lie you told or any lie you've told me in the last 5 minutes we're talking. Or mine. Yeah. It's really that serious. And that he freely gave his son for us, that we should not pay for that sin. And that one sin does us in and casts us into the lake of fire without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You've heard of Jesus Christ, obviously.
Yeah, sure. I heard Jesus on the cross and all that.
Yeah.
A long time. But
he came down off the cross. Because I know a lot of religions, they never take him down off that cross. I know I grew up as a Catholic, and I used to always wonder why he was still on the cross. And they preached him in such glory. All I ever saw him was dead up there. And through nails through his hands, and it actually made me sad. I was like, wow, man, it's like, there's no power to this guy. The guy wearing the funny hat and all the shirts was the guy holding all the power in there. But we're getting off on a different trail. But I mean, you ought to come to church with us sometime. I know that you like to watch the football on Sunday and stuff, but it's only an hour, and we'd be happy to have you. And my wife and I would love you guys to come over to our Bible study if you'd like and share some verses with you.
I'd like that.
Good.
You may still have your lip, but
you're in salvation, brother. All right. Good. Okay, a couple of things. Question. Did Tom give David the gospel? Yes, and he gave it to him more than once. Did you hear what he said? What did he keep emphasizing?
The blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ. So he really, always get the issue there. And then, What else worked well there? What was the invitation towards the end? It wasn't physical infirmities. He brought up, God's not going to heal my knee. That's a stunner to a lot of people because, wait a minute, I thought you guys were Christians. You said God's supposed to heal everything. So that's kind of interesting. What's that? Yeah, he kind of went back to creation. Also, what else did Tom do well that would be helpful? Invite him. He'll be part of this. Now, did the conversation, and I understand we're role-playing everything, but did the conversation, did it kind of seem like just kind of flowed, kind of a natural, I understand we're role-playing everything, that one of the things to try to do about a conversation is just to try to get it to flow. Just to have it be a normal part of your life, normal talking with someone about the gospel. And then also Tom made a real important observation. He said, we're getting a little off track, and you brought it back.
Good.
See, that was good. And be aware of that. Yeah, we're kind of off track, but let's get back to him. Okay, what would have been some other things that could have been said or brought up? Yes. Yes, re-emphasizing the lost condition is very important. Very important. Why is that important? That's critical. We're going to see that tomorrow. That's critical. David, why is that critical?
You need to know you need a Savior.
Everybody got that? So just telling someone they're condemned, for the most part, that puts them on the defensive and they reject you. You haven't really given them a basis for them to consider whether or not they are condemned. If a policeman came to your house today, or if a judge showed up at your door today and said you're guilty of this crime, what would you say? What, there hasn't even been a trial yet. See that? You might have been guilty, but you haven't even had a trial yet. So what we're going to hopefully do as we go through how to present the gospel is that lost person's got to see themselves in the condition that they're in. The only thing he's going to do is get the Word of God. And you want to allow the Word of God to present to them their lost condition. Otherwise, the old saying, no one's ever going to get saved who does not first know they're lost. Because what are they getting saved from? They don't have any need. All right? Okay, anybody else? I need two more volunteers. Two more volunteers. Okay, the girls, here we go. Sue and Cindy, come on up. Yeah. All right, come on up. Come on up now. No, come on. Joe and Sue. Allie, we're going to pick on you tomorrow, okay? So, yes, you.
I'm all good.
You're all good, right?
I'll be dead.
Okay, so now this is going to be a similar scenario. That they, okay. Let's, okay, teacher. So Cindy is the teacher.
at the local public school, and Sue's children are in Cindy's class. I'm just going to set a stage here, okay? So Sue is the mom, and one of the kids in class happened to notice that Cindy, now she can't do this anymore, I don't think, but Cindy had a Bible in school. Ooh, you know, so the kid noticed that, all right? And so the kid said something to the mom, hey, my teacher had a Bible in school. And so Sue's kind of curious about that in the sense of, you know, like she's not a believer, but she's not non-religious. She's kind of religious, so she's not totally against it. But she didn't think that teachers were supposed to have Bibles in school. And, you know, are you trying to proselyte my children? And for you, it's a perfect opportunity. It's after school, so it's after hours, so you're not on school ground, you're at the grocery store, she comes up. And you're kind of concerned about, well, is she trying to proselyte my kid? But you're not negative to it. And you see this, hey, this is a neat opportunity to maybe just share the gospel. Okay? So you run into each other at the grocery store. Go ahead. About 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, he's so sweet. Little dear.
Oh, you know, I really know him.
She came home and told me that you had a Bible on your desk. Are you saying anything to the kids at all during school time?
Well, actually, yes, I do have a Bible in the room, and I'm not teaching the children necessarily out of the Bible, but I read it on my lunch break and after school because it stabilizes me throughout the day. It's the power of God, and His word works in me and helps me become a better teacher. So, but I'm not directly influencing the children as far as maybe through my mannerisms or the way I teach them, but I am not teaching them from the Bible per se. But it helps me become a better teacher.
How does that, I don't understand how the word of God helps you through this. What is it that the word helps you in?
It helps me in just realizing every day the power that is in God's Word, and it just helps me deal with my life and with this life in general. And it is my life. And do you go to church at all?
Well, kind of on and off, you know, yeah. A little steady, just a little here, a little there.
Well, I found that if you understand the grace of God and that Jesus died for our sins and past, present, and future and rose again, that we are saved through that. And that knowledge just really can help you throughout your daily tribulations. And if you'd like, I'd love to have you come to church or we could get together and I can go through some verses with you in the Bible if you would like.
Well, that sounds good, but, you know, I'll have to think about it. You know, I'm not sure if I'd do that right now, but that's definitely a thought that I might do that with you.
All right, that would be great. And really I can even send, that. If you want to send a note with your child or give me a call after school, and we can see about getting together.
Well, thank you. That's really kind of you to do that.
Excellent. Good, good. Give him a hand. Good job. Thank you. Okay, so a couple of quick things there. So what seemed to go well?
Cindy, by giving a nice gospel of what the peace of God does for her.
Good. Excellent, very good. Good. What else? What else went well? It obviously was a cordial conversation.
Sue was willing.
Sue was willing?
She wasn't hostile.
Yeah, she wasn't hostile. She was cautious. Mm-hmm. She wasn't hostile. Okay. What else went well? What else was good? Yeah, so they made the follow-up. Right then, might not work. So in that sequence, one plants, one waters, God gave the increase. Which one just happened?
Planting.
The planting, that's all. See that? Just do that. See that? And everybody can do this, right? Anything else? Could she have done anything different?
She could have said that she is a sinner and that she needs...
Okay, so perhaps brought that issue up. Here's what I came to realize. By the way, did you see when she really kind of, she was allowing Sue to ask some questions about the child, is she influencing the kids, so she talked about that. And then she took control of the conversation by saying what? Did you see when the conversation, when she took control of it? Yes, she said, well, by the way, do you go to church? Now who's controlling the conversation? See that? So she directed that. So that's very, very good. So you let the interaction, and it was very
It flowed very, very well. There was no hostility there at all. Okay? Do we have any volunteers that want to be hostile witnesses? Robert's hands up. Come on up, Robert. Robert, come on up. Robert, come on up. No, come on up. No, come on up. You're our volunteer. Okay. Okay, who wants to be the... Robert's going to be the hostile witness. Okay?
Okay, get John up there. Get John with Robert.
Okay. And Adrian's going to come up. Adrian, the Canadian visitor. All right, give Adrian a hand. All right. Okay, now, so let's pick a scenario here. Adrian from Canada is down here in the U.S. Visiting. He's vacationing out here with his family, and they are going to stop by Bible camp. Robert is in Southern California from Hawaii, which he is, by the way. So anyway, so if you want to go to Hawaii, go visit Robert, okay? So he's out visiting from Hawaii. And, you know, he's not sure he believes in God. He's happy just with the beach. The beach is fine. That's what life's about. The beach and surfing, scuba diving, right?
Life's the beach.
Right? Okay. So Adrian kind of, the common denominator is that they're both from out of town, out of the country, and they're visiting here kind of on vacation. That's the common denominator. They have nothing else in common at all. Again, what you are, you just have no interest in God, no interest in the Bible, whatever, okay? And you're just kind of out fishing to talk with people about the Lord, okay? So let's say you happen to be on the same beach, looking at the same pretty girls and everything, so, or surfing, whatever, okay? So go ahead and start the conversation. Don't tell Ann you're looking at the same pretty girls, okay? Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Oh! Oh, man.
You have to say that to her.
That was awesome.
She remembered it, didn't she?
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, fine.
Good. So, where are you from?
Right here.
Oh.
On the beach.
Oh, I'm up in Canada.
Are you visiting?
Yeah, I'm up visiting, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. So, I'm up fishing for a while, and then I'm going to go to a Bible conference, and I'm going to study the Bible. So, do you go to church, or do you believe in God or anything?
Once in a while, go ahead, but... I don't really know about that kind of stuff.
Are you interested at all in it? Like, do you know what's going to happen to you if you die? Because, you could die tomorrow.
Let's think of it as non-existence. There's no heaven, no hell.
There's no heaven, no hell? But what if there was? So what if you're wrong?
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I just, in my heart, that there's no place... After you die, it's fixed non-existence.
Because I believe that Christ did walk on the earth, that the Bible is true, and that I do believe that he died for our sins.
Christ is only a man. He's not God in the flesh. Because how can you be God and be man at the same time? He can't be God and he's a man.
Yeah, but the Bible says differently. So the Bible says that...
The Bible is a book.
The Bible is a book, but it's inspired by God.
How do you know that?
Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is inspired by the Word of God.
But the man wrote the Bible, so you know.
But it's inspired. But then,
who told you it was inspired?
The Bible tells us, and I believe that the Bible is truth. So if the Bible is truth, that means that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That He went to hell, he rose again, but he died for us. He paid the penalty of sin for all of mankind. So if he paid the penalty of sin for us, that means that we don't have to do anything. The penalty has been paid, and our home is going to be with him in the heavens. And if you don't believe any of that, well, you've already put yourself in a position of, this is where you're going to go. But I have a position where I'm going to go someplace after this life. And we're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die.
Well, that's what you believe, but, you know, what did God, if he's so powerful, why did he have to become a man? I mean, we can just zip us up.
from sin entered the world by one man.
But he has
sin entered by Adam.
You don't have to come. What did he have to come here?
Why did he have to?
Why did he have to come here?
He wanted to save mankind. He wanted us to be with him in the heavens.
Well, he has the power he's got to do that already.
You know what? The best thing to do would be for you and I to sit down with a book, with the Bible, and we could go over it, and I can share the gospel with you, and we can go through the Bible. You can read for yourself what the Bible says about all things, and we can spend as much time together as you like.
Well, I don't think I need to, because I'm okay guy.
Yeah.
I don't need that stuff, because I'm happy when I just
come. Yeah. Well, just remember what I said to you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that was good, Robert.
That's very good.
You did very good. For a saved guy, Robert did pretty good for a lost guy, right? So, okay, real quick, what were some of Robert's objections? How do you know? Written by man. How could he be God and man?
Why would he do it?
I'm happy where I'm at. So all those objections. Okay, good. What were some of the really good replies that Adrian gave him?
All Scripture.
Very good. Verse is the issue. Not written by man.
We could take some time later and read it.
Great. Because he could kind of see that, you know, we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's time to move on. And, you know, you can tell that within about 2 minutes of someone. They're just not interested. It's just not the right time. So you can ask them, hey, would you like to get together later on? No, I'm not interested. Great. Hey, have a great vacation. See you later. Move on. Seriously. It's just something else, you know. That type of thing. What else went well in the conversation? What's that? Gave him the gospel. Good. What else? What else?
Went?
What's that?
He didn't get flustered.
That was excellent. Because you can get real frustrated, you know, when all these actions
so
back to you.
Was shown
in the book. Go ahead, Robert. Yes. What's that? He did or didn't?
He didn't.
Yes. Yeah. It was a comfortable conversation where he's kind of probing to see, I'd sure like to give this guy the gospel. Let me see if I can. You're just kind of probing a little bit. You're not trying to be unkind or mean or coercive. But you just weren't interested. You were okay with your at? You know, good. So what else went well? Could anything have been done different? Was anything left out that we could have put in?
Well, I think if he told me more that my condition of state, that I was needing repentance or to know who God is, that I would have talked more about that.
Okay, maybe if he would have conveyed the issue of need and why do you need the gospel. Very good. Jamie. Yes.
So that's an adulterer. So by your own admission, you're a lying,
yes,
adultering thief.
Yes.
So when you get to heaven and you stand there in front of the judgment seat of God, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Yeah. That's exactly what we're going to look at tomorrow. Those three steps. Right there. We just got our volunteer. That's right. Right. All right. Good. Tomorrow, what we're going to deal with, in fact, you should have a handout in your brochure. No. If you have time, it's very good. Because one of the questions is, what is the lawful use of the law? That's an accurate use of the law. And if you look on your... No, not... There should be two handouts in your brochure. We'll deal with them tomorrow. This one here. On the front says, lesson number 2, 3 critical issues. And on the back there's some crunch questions. We're going to deal specifically with that tomorrow. And I'll tell you more about that. But that's exactly right. Because there is a lawful use of the law. There's a lawful use of the law that actually you use for the purpose of showing that person the need. And those are 3 excellent ways to do it. That's why you use it. Yeah.
The verse says, Psalms 19 says, the law is perfect, converting the soul. The law brings that conviction. That's what you want to do. Now, the other thing we're going to address tomorrow is one, I think, common denominator in each of these role plays that we did, I think we can improve on. And that is, and we're going to really stress this, Brother Jordan stresses this all the time, Brother Oscar Waddell, who's now with the Lord, he stressed this all the time. He said, you know what? You got to ask permission. You got to ask permission. And the reason you got to ask permission is because you're dealing with a heart issue, an emotional inner man heart issue. So now you're in private personal space. Can I get into your private space? So one thing that we're going to role play tomorrow is we're going to ask permission. Like, for example, when David was talking with, who was David talking with? Tom. David was talking to Tom. Yeah. So, you know, maybe, hey, you know, David, like when David says, I know you guys got to church and everything. What do you guys learn? Maybe Tom could have said something. You know, well, David, tell you what. One thing I've come to understand was, and then forgiveness of sins, and then David, if I could show you from God's Word what I've come to understand, do you have a few minutes right now? So you're giving the guy, you're asking the guy, he's either going to say yes or no. And it's so important to ask permission because, again, you're entering that personal space. If they say, no, I'm just not interested, well, then they've just told you, no, I don't give you permission. Okay? So you still planted, but maybe you just didn't get quite time to water that day. So maybe it's a week later or a year later, 5 years later. See that? So we'll deal with a lot of this tomorrow. Okay? More role play, more specifics. We're going to really get this down to where you're comfortable and confident in God's Word. Okay, we have like 2 minutes. Yes, Robert, you had a question or a comment?
It's ironic because when I had the presentation with the two ladies, and she didn't mention about the blood.
Because her husband always mentions the blood. Yeah. All right. Good. Anything else?
I'll show you the blood.
Great.
I was wondering about evangelism. As far as motivation.
Yeah, we're going to talk tomorrow. Some things we didn't talk about today is the idea of how is prayer involved in this whole process? Is prayer involved? You're talking to God. Is it involved in this whole process? The answer is it is. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Tom, go ahead.
Are you going to have a question and answer tonight?
Yes, we will. Yeah. Okay, so here's the schedule for the afternoon. Basically, you're at lunch.